King, Mr. Midas. Now we know we can get started. Except this time, no getting wrecked.
Hey, Deb, what you up to?
Hello.
Midas, how are you, brother?
Hey, 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 what's up? Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're doing good. You living the dream?
Yeah. You know, trying to.
Things family, got everybody okay?
Yeah, family's good. Girl's good. You know, just reigniting, just getting back.
What? Oh, yeah. Like, why'd you hop onto Twitter again after a while?
I don't know. I've been reading, you know, all the stuff that you guys have been posting for a while. So.
Oh, okay. Okay. You did secure yourself some Zetscope.
Not yet. So just give me a couple of minutes and I'm going to get my stuff.
Yeah, I'm going to give you the rundown on this thing because it's pretty interesting. I think this is the run-it-up turbo play here.
Are we going to get wrecked again?
What's that?
Are we going to get wrecked again?
I don't think so.
Sign me up. Sign me up.
So basically, basically what this thing is, well, first off, like, it came to my attention a few weeks ago because Up, who's in here, is in the mining community. He has like a house full of miners and sticks them in his kitchen and everywhere else. And so he kind of hears down the grapevine what's happening in the proof of work space, right? And so he's always kind of keeping an eye on what coins might be interesting to mine and this and that. And turns out, so Monero has been around since, you know, like 2014 or something. It's a privacy coin, and it's got like a stabilized market cap of like $3 billion or so. And what this thing is, it's basically a fork of Monero. It's the same protocol and everything, you know, secure for a very long time, and it's CPU mined, so it's kind of fun because like all of us can mine it on our computers. So we've been mining this ourselves, and I bought a couple of PCs to kind of do some mining and have some fun with it. But it's basically an anonymous protocol. So the cool thing is, like, whatever you do within your wallet, it's very similar to like secret network, right? Like, where you when you operate inside this wallet on the blockchain, you have no like traceable activity that can be tracked back to you, which is good. So that's something that, like, remember Luna and UST and all the other things didn't have, which made it really, really problematic in terms of like trying to send a payment to somebody or whatever. You'd have to have a special wallet and, you know, all that sort of shit, right? Unless otherwise people would know what you had in it, which, you know, in this case might be zero. But anyway, so in this thing, like, it's a privacy chain, and the core thing is basically Monero. So it's a proof of work, and therefore, like, the value of the coin typically is going to be based on like miners and hashing the thing and, you know, securing everything. And then the application of computing power and electricity give the chain and the network effect gives some value to it. So most proof of work chains have some nominal value that they're traded at as a result of that. So the thing here is they added an over-collateralized stablecoin in here. So this is like the DJED protocol, DJED. And what they did was made sure it's like, it's not algorithmic. So the stable coin's not really even that stable until people arbit, you know, on exchanges and stuff. So you're aware of all that. And it's 400% minimum over-collateralized. And right now it's about a couple thousand percent over-collateralized. you know, based on like the amount of Zephyr that people keep in reserve. And you can only move in and out of the reserve so long as you're in that 400 to 800% range. The reserve holders, like if you can get lucky enough to get those, you basically get yield from the thing, from the transactions on the network. And there's no Ponzinomics yield, nothing like that. It's pure. It's like pure transactional. And then like how this is different from Monero and Bitcoin is that there are tail emissions at the end of the thing so that there's no such thing as like, you know, running out of a way to pay the miners. So the supply of the thing is technically infinite, but the base supply is like 18 million or something like that, 18 and a half or 18 million. And then the rest of it is like emissions after that. So I think like around 2.5 million or so have been mined or something. And, you know, and it's been basically listed so far on MEXC. It's been listed on Trade Ogre and a few other little places, no KYC. And it's mostly just like, it's like an intersection between people who were interested in kind of like the private stablecoin, or I mean stablecoin, people who are interested in privacy, people who did not want to be involved with algorithmic stablecoins and whatnot, try to get something that is more collateral backed. And it's kind of this culmination of this thing. So like the cool thing is like in this, imagine like, you know, the thing 10x's and you convert to the Zeph stable dollar within your wallet, like you can pretty much trade in the wallet with like no visibility to anybody outside of that space. So you're basically in video game land when you're inside the wallet. So playing with your video game tokens that no one really can monitor, which is good. So that's kind of the basic principle of it. And then interesting metrics so far, there's only about like 1 million of the ZSD stablecoin minted, whereas the chain is worth like 65 million market cap at the moment. So it's just pretty heavily over collateralized so far. But as we know, like, you know, the collateral value can dump. So if the price of Zeph drops for whatever reason, you're still way over collateralized and the chain can't halt. There's no proof of stake. There's no governance, none of that shit. So the chain works as a Monero, like regardless of whether or not people use the stable dollar. So this became kind of popular among the Monero community. And a fair amount of people have been mining this thing. And the mining hash rate has been running approximately what Monero is, like 2 gigahash per second. And with CPU mining, you don't usually see like the terahash per second that quickly, because that stuff is with ASICs and like the Bitcoin. With CPU mining, you know, like 2.5 gigahash is pretty good. So you have something with approximately the hashing rate of Monero, but it's like 1/40th the market cap of it right now at like $25. So that's kind of the TLDR of this thing. Looks super interesting and pretty much everyone got some. So like you can see like all the usual faces around here. And so we're just basically fucking around and finding out again. So that's the story. So, and I think like the capability of this thing from this price, like I think another thing you probably weren't watching around, but like Caspa was a big story this last year. And basically it's this coin that is also proof of work. It's kind of like the quote unquote new Bitcoin, a little bit faster, a little bit this, a little bit that, and, you know, some fair launch kind of situation. And people have done well with that. Some of the people in this room picked up Caspa. And, you know, like a lot of the Caspa people will be looking for a place to rotate their funds and shit and like, you know, blow it on something. So this is just one example of that. Like another one was a Caspa fork, called KLS. And we bought into that, like, I don't know, 6 cents or some shit. I actually decided to sell that this afternoon because after it popped, it's like, whatever. Made like a 3x on the thing. I'm going to get some more Zeph. And basically decided to just move it into more Zephyr at about $26. So I'm a little bit underwater, about 40 cents or something. But anyway, like the privacy concept is really, really interesting. And our theory is that like between AI and between CBDCs and all those things, people are going to like the privacy narrative is probably going to pick up a bid. You know, all the privacy chains and tokens and things probably will get interesting again to people like sometime next year, the year after that. So we figured like, you know, it's a play on that. And we're so early with such a small market cap, like I think when Bruce and I noticed this first, it was like, or up told us, it was like, I don't know, 15 mil of market cap or less. It's running around 60 right now. So our initial buy, we got ahead on. And then I kind of added to that at like this $25 to $28 range, which is where I've been kind of playing. And that is the plan. So it works pretty well. It's got a little web wallet and stuff. You can pick this thing up on MEXC, which I don't know where MEXC is. I don't know if that's in Mexico or what, but maybe your neck of the woods. I'm not sure. But that's a story. Any questions about any of that?
So what's the chance of it going to zero?
Well, I would say the zero chance really is not from any kind of the stablecoin is not really stable anyway. It's really just like it's arbed externally. So I wouldn't say that you're really in this to hold the stable. It's basically a Monero fork. So it's secure just like Monero is. And you mine it with the exact same software and hardware that you would for Monero. So Monero hasn't had a problem happen since 2014. This is open source, by the way. So people have like dug into it and checked it and whatever else, the mining community and all. So far, no issues. If there's kind of a risk, it might be that like there's an Oracle service that they use to connect the wallet, the actual like price of the thing of both Zeph and the ZSD in order to like facilitate exchanges between the two within your wallet. And I think they're working on further decentralizing that process as more exchanges get listed. But right now, like MEXC is the primary liquidity. So, you know, Oracle attack or something like that, you know, could be a risk factor but it doesn't really halt the chain or anything. It would just like make the transition from Zeph to ZSD kind of like jacked up for a little while. But so Oracle risks are there. And then maybe like the team has some tokens. So they have a pre-mine of like out of the 18 something million, they have like 500,000. So theoretically, the team could dump on you, or like if they give it to an exchange to like provide liquidity, they could dump on you. So there's those kind of routine kind of risks, I guess. But like I'd rather have a clear cut pre-mine where I know that they have it and it's announced and it's like on chain, as opposed to like, you know, a Satoshi situation where you're like, you're not really sure if he's going to dump or not. In this case, you know, the team might use the tokens. And the team here, by the way, might is the other important thing I forgot to mention, is they're anonymous. So you don't have like a Doquan figure. You don't have like any of that kind of shenanigans where like there's someone you can arrest, which, you know, we don't want that to happen. So you don't have that centralization risk with a especially with a privacy token, right? Like you don't want a Tornado Cash situation or something like that. So pretty much a non-team, which is, I think, a good thing. Like I was always worried about that, Onterra. And unlike Onterra, like we don't, it's like 50% of the tokens aren't owned by the central team, right? Like that was another problem. So there's a few kind of plus sides here, I would say. And then like, I would say a risk factor would also be the fact that like all the liquidity is on MEXC. I think it's like a top 5 or 6 exchange in the world now. But the problem with like having so much on like one exchange would be like if there's an exchange hack, like a Mt. Gox or some shit, that would be a possible risk vector theoretically. But those are the big ones, I think. You know, unless there's some software glitch in like wallets or something. Although I think everyone's sort of seen the wallet's infrastructure. In fact, Dugan, who's one of the guys in the audience, is working on an iOS app to do a wallet for iOS. So he's probably seen the code. Probably has a good sense of like whether there's any like attack vectors and shit like that in it. But basically, I think those wallets are, I think, more or less forked from Monero, which is cool because like most of that stuff is like already well thought out. And I think they added some other extra code in this system to make it even more private for transfers between people. So that another interesting thing, Midas, is like imagine someone were to like normally, you know how like TFL would say, oh, we're selling some Luna, we're going to supply, you know, we're going to use it for whatever. You're like, uh-oh, that's going to cause sell pressure. In this instance, because the thing is private, you won't know when the team is buying or selling. In fact, you won't know when any of the whales are buying and selling. So you can't be front run. At the same time, you're not worried that you're like the Winklevoss twins. You're a billionaire one day with this thing for some reason. And now it's like you're worried that you can't sell your shit because like everyone can see your wallet, right? So it was kind of like a negative because, you know, open blockchains like Bitcoin and stuff, you can see the whale wallets. And then people get nervous when those start to move or people try to sell, right? So this is better because, like, in my opinion, like, it's better to have no source of FUD. If people want to sell, they can fucking sell. If they don't want to sell, they don't have to sell, which is beautiful because then, like, you're not worried you're going to cause mass panic if you're, like, an early user. And people right now very much so are early users. This thing's market cap is tiny. So I think, like, if you're early in this, you prefer these features ultimately. So that's kind of the big takeaway. Anything that jumps out at you is kind of crazy or weird?
Nah, I think, like, the technical part, I'm okay with it. I'm just wondering, you know, based on Coach Bruce Wrangler, thesis about, you know, having a good community, like feeling the vibe and all of that, like,
yep,
what's your take on that one? Like, is there any other community other than the lunatics? Like, has new people joining on the
site? What I've noticed is, so when we, like, a few weeks ago, I think we had like maybe a, there was like maybe a few thousand followers of the Zephyr Protocol Twitter handle, and that number is now like 15,000. So that bumped quickly. The second thing that's notable is just the trade volume. What used to be like, remember, this came out only in June, Midas, it's like pretty new. So super, super early. And there, and by the way, besides the fact that we're early, there's no prior trade history in a sense, right? So it's all price discovery to the upside. Like, there's no bag holders. So everyone's fresh, which is good. Full, like, fresh bull run thing. So the community that's arrived has arrived like brand new, and there's been people mining this since about June. So there's some supply out from that. But the communities tend to be a bunch of miners. So, like, when there aren't very many things you can CPU mine, and therefore, like, because this was a CPU mining thing, a bunch of people hopped on, started mining it, and a bunch of the mining pools created YouTube videos saying, hey, come mine this and check this out, blah blah blah. So I would say the mining pools are one set of community. The other is, like, whatever Discord and Telegram groups, and I don't go to those very much because, like, man, your notifications just light up like a Christmas tree. But there's guys here that are in those groups and give us some feedback from time to time of, like, shit that's going on. But those groups kind of skyrocketed. And then, like, just the YouTube attention, Google, whatever trends, all that sort of perked up a little bit as well. So this is all brand new. So it'll take some time to build up steam. But, like, take Casper, for example, that started last summer and it's now at 3 billion market cap. Monero, which is the primary comparison of this one, is a 3 billion market cap even before any pumping has happened. The daily volume on this thing has been increasing. I think a few months ago, it might have been like $100,000 or less per day. And now it's running like, you know, $1.5 to $3 million per day, something like that. So definitely a lot more people involved now. And we had, like, the first pump, by the way, it was like, you know, the price was sitting below like $5 for, like, I don't know, since summer. You know how this goes. It has its first run up. It ran up to 52. Now it's at 25. So a nice, like, one fib retracement down, like 50% drop, right? And usually, you know how this happens, like, everyone shows up after the first pump because that's when everyone hears about it. Like, so I think the pump was a mixture of, like, a variety of community. And there's also some other people in the Twitter community also that were kind of like blowing their horn about this that we don't know. And we just started following those people just because why not, right? Like, and so it's building quick. I think, you know, nobody can ever tell how big these things get, but it definitely checks a lot of boxes. Like, the privacy people are interested, the proof of work people are interested, the stablecoin people are interested. You know, right? Like, all of the different groups that you might think of, like, you know, it's going to attract, you know, different type of niche groups, or, like, if you think of, like, a Venn diagram of all the shit people care about, this hits a lot of the stuff. It hit the decentralization folks are interested because it's CPU mined and you're not talking about, like, ASIC miners. So a lot of people in this room are mining with their own PCs, which is cool. So yeah, it just checks off a lot of nice boxes in my mind. And both Bruce and I were like, oh yeah, this looks worthy of getting behind. let's get ourselves a bag and like go for it. So, and then of course, like, you know, like we're pretty good at like chatting about these things for years on end or whatever. So if we like something, we'll keep at it. So like, you can't really underestimate the power of that, I suppose. Cause like most communities, you know how they are, like they disappear in the bear market and shit. Like, whereas we're always here, doing something or another. So, you know, whatever that's worth. So we didn't cry in our soup too long, Midas. We just stuck with it and kept going. But anyway, like, yeah, so it's had a nice pullback already. And typically with these kinds of technical moves, you're going to see like a few weeks of downside activity, even in a bull market. Cause like the first consolidation before it took off was like, you know, like a couple weeks. And this, now it's already been like maybe 2 weeks, I think. Let me see. Yeah, it's coming up to like 2 weeks. So, you know, it's like these usual bull market like movements. And I think unlike Caspa, which opened up like operations during a bear market, which was kind of good too, because like they got a lot of crypto diehards by being in the bear market. This opened up like in the summer also, before kind of these bull market vibes started kicking in. And so I think we picked up a lot of early folks. And the other cool thing, man, is like the coin's not available in very many places, like Trade Ogre and like ZegEx and Mexi or whatever, and all these niche places, which is good because since it's not like a VC backed shit like that shows up on Coinbase and whatever on the first day, the good thing about this is because it's not like a big, you know, mega VC type of thing, as far as we can tell. We don't know that for sure. We don't know who made this, but the fact that like it's already started on small exchanges, meaning it's mostly crypto nerds that are in it, that's a good sign, because crypto nerds are way more like trading savvy, or they're more diamond handed. So both. So I think, you know, it's like crypto natives are going to understand like why this coin is useful versus a bunch of other shit. So I think it's cool. It's gonna hit a lot of narratives, and we can meme this motherfucker big time. So that's important. The other thing too is after catching up with this little group, we made some new friends. So like some of the guys here in the proof of work community are fun. Like they've got some alpha as far as like coins are gonna pop and or new listings. So I know Up told me about one called KLS, like 3 days ago, brand new. It just got listed like on Trade Ogre. And since I already was playing in this space, you know, Trade Ogre and Mexi because of this thing, I picked some up at like, I don't know, I just market bought it at like 5 to 6 cents with a bunch of slippage. It went up to like 17 or 18 cents, 19, something like that. And I actually decided to sell it because like I was only in it for just a gamble, honestly. I wasn't really in it for any long-term thing. So I made like a, you know, 2X, 3X, whatever it is. And then I bought some Zeph with it this morning. And so that's kind of my take. There is enough liquid. There is, by the way, if you want to sell KLS, I sold it right about here. There is enough exit liquidity to sell now for about, just about 139 grand worth at about 15 cents, 24,000 worth at 16 cents. So if you want to sell it, you can. It's pretty easy now. It was listed, this KLS token, Carlson, was just listed on what's it, ZegEx. So I went on there to see what it's all about, but it's got KYC. It's got like $2,000 limits on the fucking thing. And like, I didn't want to really mess with it, but they do have it on there, but not with very much more liquidity than they do on Trade Ogre. In fact, it might be less. The order book looked pretty thin. So I was looking at it to see if I wanted to transfer my KLS there, swap it to something there, maybe Zeph, and send it home. But I decided to just go ahead and cover it. I had some like tax loss before, so like, you know, I can clock these gains against it, no problem. So anyway, I just kind of sold it. I'll just report it normally, and then go and I picked up some Zeph with it. That was the plan, was to just gamble on a few of these things. So kind of nice thing about like having some, it's good to have folks like in some small caps and stuff, like friends, because then you hear about some shit that's going to moon before it moons, or like immediately after it comes out, which is kind of cool. So it's a little bit more alpha and stuff when you get a little group together. But anyway, yeah. Anything else going on?
Now I'm just waiting for my transfer to Maxi so I can get me some Zephyr. Something that I've noticed right now, I was checking like the different statistics on YouTube and, you know, just to gauge interest. And seems there is still a little bit of, you know, signal in there. A couple of people are creating videos. That's one of the like the things that I like to check before buying into anything. Like there must be some kind of activity, like, you know, a couple of videos here and there. I remember back in the Terra days, like some of the people were creating a couple of videos, but not many. But then
it's super early, but remember, an interesting thing is like you have a lot of bag holders that are developing like because of the mining activities. So like everyone wants their mine coins to go up and all the mining pools and everything. So you can imagine they're going to like, there's going to be a, there's like almost a, like proof of work has an interesting sort of pre-built, you know, like shill group in a sense, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, I think like this is gonna, I mean, no financial advisor. I don't know anything, just to get the disclaimer going on. But something tells me that as soon as we start seeing a little bit more of, you know, the traditional YouTubers just talking about it, you know, new accounts just popping up and people talking about it. I think typically
Midas, what happens is like the big accounts, they won't necessarily do YouTube videos on microcaps because they know they're going to like, you know, like pump it into ridiculous numbers and there's no exit liquidity and like they'll wreck all their followers. So, and legitimately, like you cannot buy very much of this without causing serious slippage, right? Like if you go and throw $1 million at this, you're going to cause some serious slippage. In fact, there's probably about $1 million worth available, probably. So what you're going to see is like a lot of those guys, those YouTubers and stuff, you know, they'll typically like capture themselves a bag and then they'll talk about this way later after it's like maybe had another couple of pumps up. It is usually how it works. So it's almost good that there's not too many people on there yet, because that means this hasn't like, this hasn't pumped to sort of ridiculous levels, you know what I mean? Like it's got natural price discovery, which is good.
Yeah, definitely. I think like from my experience, like I don't know if you guys knew that I was the marketing director for Leonardo AI, which is right now the third largest Discord server in the world. So
that thing is cool, man.
Thanks. One of the things that happened in there was that at the beginning, people weren't even listening to us, right? Because we already had Midjourney and all these, what we can say, kind of like the big market cap coins, if we can make some kind of parallel between crypto and AI. And so the thing that really started giving it a lot of people and eyeballs and views and everything was that at first there were a couple of smaller accounts talking about it. Like, dude, it was like people with 500 subscribers, like nothing really big. But it kind of started doing this snowball effect. Like once these guys started getting a lot of views, a lot of interest, then a couple of bigger accounts started to take an interest into this. So I think this might happen if we can. One of the things that helped me was to just contact the smaller YouTubers and be like, dude, have you heard of Leonardo? And, you know, it has all this stuff. And after that happened, the Medium accounts start taking some interest. And then after that, it took a while, but then we started seeing people with 1 million followers and that shit. So
yeah, I think you want to get the folks that are like, you know, who's kind of hungry for new content and views. Yeah. And the little guy is going to be a good place to start.
Yeah, exactly. So from what I've seen right now on YouTube is that there are a couple of video makers that are starting to talk about it, which gives me a good signal in the way that I find tokens and the way that I've, you know, that's kind of how I also found Luna back in the days. And I think like in this occasion, I don't know, there are like five or six people talking about it. And once we start seeing a little bit more of them, I think we can expect a bigger, you know, big candlestick here and there. I'm just getting prepared right now. Just try to get you listening to me before you guys buy anything, so the price stays stable right now. And so don't go and buy anything, all right? I got my deposit.
They're going to front run your shit.
Just keep on talking, because I don't want nobody taking my.
I think I picked it up at like the last three dips here I picked up. See, what happened was I picked up some at like six-ish, and it ran up, and I didn't mess with it at all. Like, I just kind of like was going to add to the dips. And then, but I wasn't fully sure. I wasn't fully convicted of, like, you know, how much I wanted of this thing in the beginning. So I only bought like a bit. So me and Bruce bought a little bit. And then on this dip, like from 52 to like, you know, the fib support's 25. So I'm like, all right, I'll pick up some. And it's dipped to this like three or four times. So I actually bought each time. And so, yeah, I just had to free up some funds elsewhere and then like transmit them here. And then in the meantime, I got this KLS thing that Up mentioned, and I was able to like 3x my money on that. So then I bought some more ZEP with that. So I've been kind of building the bag here a little bit, getting ready for, like, you know, the coming bull run or whatever. But and another thing matters too, like, a lot of retail users are not back yet. Like, you'll notice in Twitter that, like, almost everybody is, like, you know, like crypto natives, people that, like, have been here or, like, have bought crypto in the past, whatever. And people are just sort of like shaking up their bags a little bit. What you don't see a lot of is a lot of like retail FOMO, like price action, in terms of like the OG coins. You know, like, you don't see it, like, you didn't see a lot of heavy Ethereum movement yet. You didn't see a lot of Atom movement yet. You didn't see a lot of, like, and a lot of the L1s didn't do shit yet, honestly. Most of the big collateral type coins that people use from the old guard did not see much movement. A lot of what's been happening in the market the last like 6 months is people have been picking up all sorts of new things that have been running up, like, for example, like Kajira and Caspa and whatever else. I'm sure you got some Kajira from your airdrops and stuff, hopefully. Like, a lot of different things have been running up that have no prior price history. The older stuff, I think, is going to be a bellwether for when the retail guys come back. Because when a ton of like newbies show up, like, they tend to go onto Coinbase or whatever, and they tend to buy like the most common things that are out there, the stuff they've heard of before. They don't tend to go down the list and go to, like, you know, market cap number 400 or something. They tend to grab, retail tends to grab everything to some extent, but like, they tend to buy the Ethereums and the, you know, the main stuff. So, like, I haven't seen a lot of movement there yet. So that's good, because, like, we're still super early, is what that means.
I remember ZeFi when I first joined crypto, I got some Ripple because, you know, the narrative of the banks,
exactly.
You know, yeah, this is going to go up. And then start learning a little bit more and just dumped all the Ripple that I had. And another point, one of the things that made me just start looking a little bit more into crypto lately is that I got like the strongest signal ever that I can have in my life, is that my dad, he suddenly started talking about Bitcoin, right? And I was like, what the fuck? Is this a top signal? Let me just sell everything right now. But then, you know, I started talking with a lot of people about it, and they were like, you know, perhaps that's just like the start of the bull run. You know, people just start to talk about Bitcoin again. And he was about to get into some kind of like hedge fund or something that want to invest into crypto. And I'm like, I don't know, but let me just ask around and see what's the temperature right now. And also, I started getting a couple of messages from, you know, the scammers that appear on Telegram. The girl, the Asian girl that wants to give you pics if you provide her some Bitcoin or something. And some groups just started to reactivate. So in a way, I still don't see any big retail movement here, but I'm starting to see people just coming back from the from the grave. And I think that that is a good signal. I don't know if this is going to be like the top, and then we're just going downwards until we find despair, but I'm not sure right now. But I'm getting my bags. I just got my Zephyr, so all good. I didn't put any $1 million though, because I didn't want to kill, you know, the whole movement here. And but maybe in the future.
Well, I think with these things though, if you're early, like, you shouldn't put in too much into these things, because the risks are unknown and all that stuff, right? So it's better to have like a little bit in there and you just sleep well and it goes up or whatever. You don't have to worry about it. It's like, it's not, otherwise you're going to have too much mental anguish and shit over these things. Cause you know how these things go. Like, the excitement happens when they start going up, right? So then you're like, oh my God, now I have to pay attention to this fucking thing, cause it might go down or whatever. That's no fun. So yeah, just keep it light.
So should I mortgage my house? Is that what you were saying?
Yeah. I'm okay. Sure. Yeah. Only one house. Yeah.
Okay, the small one.
Oh, hey, Dub, did you have any questions or anything? Dub was like, are we having Spaces Day or what? And I'm like, all right, on request, we'll have one. So,
No, it's a beautiful space so far. Don't have any questions at the moment.
Cool. Yeah, we're just kind of reviewing because Midas is getting back in the game a little bit. So we've known Midas for like, I don't know, what, a couple of years, man? Something? So it's, yeah, actually I've got a meeting a bit later, so I can't hang around. I can come back later in the afternoon, but like in another hour or so.
Yeah, it's actually my dad's birthday today, so later tonight I can't, I'm gonna be doing stuff for him today. But
that's cool.
Well, maybe good, later like, tonight
it's good if people just show up and like park. If people even come here and park here, because like when we have these things, people pay attention if there's a lot of people in the room. It's like if there's three people in the room, people are like, what the fuck are these incels talking about? They don't want to be involved. So, you know what I mean? Like, that, so it's good to have a big crowd.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, back like real quick on that KLS token thing we were kind of playing with. It could go up a lot more. It's got like a crazy hash rate right now. And I think like there's some people that are one concerned about whether that team is actually just like not that great. And they're kind of like talking price action on the Twitter feed, which is kind of worrisome. And there was some like worry that like, do they have even a roadmap to make their protocol ASIC resistant? Cause right now it's supposed to be GPU mined or something like that. I don't know all the nuances behind it, but like some of the mining community are kind of iffy about the thing. It could go up no matter what, because it's like this cast before or whatever. But I felt like, I don't know, like we messed around, made a little 3x in the thing, whatever. Like, and some of the guys here made like a 5x because they got it a little sooner. And I felt like, it just got listed on a new exchange today, which means like, you know, that's just more exit liquidity to start with. And it could go up a lot more possibly, but I felt like, you know, rotating out of a pump and then going into a pullback like Zeph made some sense to me. So, you know, it's kind of, that's what I did. It could, but that one could go up a lot more, but like, then you reach ridiculous market caps really quickly because it's very illiquid. So you have to remember this, like when you see those numbers and you don't have a CoinGecko page yet, you can't see the like market cap of a thing. You don't know how many coins there are multiplied by the price of the coin. It could just be just completely obnoxious nonsense. Then when you go to Trade Ogre, it's like, you know, there's like 300K worth of buy orders on the buy side, right? Like it's like when the thing drops, it'll just drop a lot. And when miners are like just pumping out coins left and right, you know, sometimes you get your 3X and get the fuck out and just don't worry about the thing. It's kind of what I did. And then, you know, if there's an opportunity later and it drops and it pummels and you find out later it's amazing, you can always get it again. It's not out of the question, but I don't know. I think it was reasonable to kind of like, you know, sell something that's pumped and get something that's already dropped. And like, even with Zephyr, there's going to be some like coins coming on the market for miners and stuff. So there can be some sales pressure. So like, I don't know where it's going to
settle in at, like, is going to be, you know, here, or it's like, you know, $15 or $20. I don't know, who the hell knows. So I just figured, like, I have some other resources I was kind of, you know, freeing up. And if I get really lucky, like, maybe some of those other things pop a little bit that have sitting around. And if they do, like, and Zeph dips a little bit more, then I can pick it up at that point. So just kind of like a little dip buying strategy. And I don't really worry too much if these things go down and stuff. You know how these things are, like, super volatile, plus or minus, you know, 50 to 80% moves, even in a bull market, is pretty normal. So, you know, it's, you just have to be comfortable with your bag, I think. So anyway, Milo, what are you up to, man?
I was going to do some product photographs here for my stuff. But yeah, I think I like that, what you're talking to about KLS there, because I kind of had that feeling too. And then looking into it, like, I think we're about a week away.
We're dead wrong, and I sold too soon too. Like, but you know, it's okay. I'm okay with being wrong. It's like, it's better to be wrong in the green, you know?
Yeah, I think they're working on programming to get, like, FPGA online, so that'll double the hash rate, because FPGA cards will come in, and then later on ASICs will. I haven't seen anyone say it's actually ASIC resistant, so it's going to go through the natural progression of GPUs to FPGA, and then it's going to go to ASICs. So there's going to be a lot of coins coming available.
Yeah. So I think, yeah, the sell pressure at a very high market cap, a lot of coins in the proof of work space don't necessarily do very much. They just stay flat for, you know, for a very long time. The gamble during bull markets is that, like, every random little thing starts catching a bid if you get a full bull market. I think what I'm not sure of still is, do we get a full on bull market or not? Or is this like a really delayed, like, bear market rally or something? You know, like, everyone gets euphoric pretty quickly, but like, this could be a disbelief rally where it's like, we're just all nervous, but that's good because that means maybe less people are taking leverage and stuff. And there's a lot more, like, stable buyers, and, like, maybe there's more room for upside. Or it could be that we're, like, in sort of like a true euphoria stage, and this is like a, you know, bear market rally, and a bunch of shit crashes again. Like, I don't really know. You know, it's so hard to tell. And I think, like, some of this is driven by this ETF news and shit for Bitcoin for February, and Bitcoin having an April and all of that. But, you know, you have to, like, oppose that with, like, the questionable economy and stuff like that. So I don't know what the right answer is, but, like, I'm definitely in disbelief. So, like, which disbelief fave is usually, like, favors a bull market, but it, you know, who knows? But yeah, anybody out down here with any other trading strategies or theories or crap that they're buying or, like, that we should be looking at or whatever, be good. It's good to just kind of play around with a few things. I think when the higher up in the market you go, the less you should put in, though. That's the trick. If you were here at the very bottom of the bear market, and, like, everything is just up only, okay, fine. But, like, with each leg up that you get, like, each fib retracement that we kind of recover, the higher you go, the more careful you should be, because the higher you go, the, like, gravity takes over, and eventually, like, you know, you're going to get a dip and stuff. So take it really easy, I would say, and always have, like, a lot of dry powder for, like, some deep dips and things, or just, like, you know, there's so many different coins and things. If you really had to dig around, you'll find something that hasn't pumped yet. You can always gamble on, like, little micros. But the general basic rule is don't do too much chasing. I think Zephyr's early enough where I felt like chasing was appropriate for me, because the potential looked really good, and the personal utility of having, like, a privacy swaps within the wallet was pretty interesting to me. But at the same time, it's like, that doesn't mean there isn't downside and stuff. And, you know, like, so I've kind of, like, cleared up some dry powder to use as needed, pretty much.
Hey, Steffi, did you check? Did you discuss Clover.ai? Any thoughts on that project? And, you know, how different is it, you know, from Render? I think it looks similar to me.
Yeah, Akash and Clover and stuff are similar. I heard that Clover's interface is
a bit better than the one for Akash. I haven't used Render's interface to connect anything, so I'm not 100% sure about that. But yeah, this is the idea of like connecting cloud computing clusters like GPUs and CPUs to, and then pay with them with the token. And I don't have any clue what the tokenomics of the Clor token, all that shit are too, by the way. So some of those utility tokens have shit tokenomics is the problem. They're used as a funding source for the company. So like it'll catch a bid because the AI narrative is strong, but, and it's a small cap. So, you know, you could probably, if it does well, you can expect, you know, high upside potentially, but I don't really know too much about the thing. I didn't research it. I mean, if someone researches it and gets back to us and is like, oh yeah, we should be buying this thing, I'm like, all right, fine. But I haven't picked up any. Did you get some yet or what?
No, I was just checking. I think, you know,
so it already started. It already kind of popped quite a bit. So yeah, you need to wait for like a retracement on that one.
Exactly. It's like point, I think it started earlier this year, right? 0.004 or something. And I think it's already at like 20 cents. I don't think it's a good entry point right now.
It's a, well, you never know. Like sometimes buying the top is the right thing, but like, yeah, it's not the greatest, and it's not the greatest chart spot to get it.
Right.
You like, if you had gotten this a lot earlier when everyone was talking about AI, like that would have been good time to do it. So yeah, what's happened is like everyone's doing that. Like, you know, some of the guys were putting up little lists, even this whole last year, and they were making little AI lists of like these tokens have AI blah 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 narratives with them. I'm going to buy these because like they're going to be pumped on AI because of OpenAI and all that shit. And they were right to a large extent. Like a lot of these things did go up as bull market sort of started. So they did a pretty good job picking those things. But yeah, it depends on how. I think part of it is with microcaps, it's like you're having to go to a whole bunch of different exchanges, create a whole bunch of random wallets, and it's a fair amount of work to do all that shit. Let's just be fair. Like, and then some of them will go to zero, and like, you know, some of them have shit tokenomics, or some of them just won't catch a bid and do anything. So you don't know how much to deploy, how much capital to deploy to each of these things. So I think the vast majority of people probably pick like maybe a dozen things they own, I would imagine, and maybe even less. A vast majority of people probably like six or less, and then like, you know, people that are really digging in deep into things probably have like a dozen. But, you know, you wind up having to split up your capital with lots and lots of different projects. Yeah, I mean, I've been thinking about it this way. It's like, if I had one thing go up, like if I had any number of my tokens go up, if which one would be I benefit the most from if it went up? Like not just in magnitude, but just period. And like, to me, the ability to like trade back to a stable in a private manner inside of a wallet was kind of like the highest utility I could think of. You know, you basically have like a quasi DEX function within your wallet in a private manner. Like, I don't know, what more can you ask for? Like, because yeah, any other coin that you did that with, you know what would happen. You know, you're putting this on an open ledger. So, you know, there are consequences to that. So I don't know. This seems like a much more useful thing to me if it goes up. So to me, I was comfortable making a little bit bigger bet on it because of that reason. So the utility for me, this may not matter for everybody, or, you know, some people may not care. It just depends on how much scale you're going into it with too. I mean, if you got $100 in it, like, you know, okay, whatever. It may not make much difference, right? Like, if so it just depends on how, what size you're talking about and how impactful it is that you're looking at this.
Yeah. Hey, and one other thing I think you want to check, right? There's a airdrop announcement, I think NAM, NAM. And I think, you know, you should be staking Atom or Osmo. But I think it doesn't apply to US, so I don't know how to get it basically.
We might be able to get around it somehow with VPNs and stuff. Depends on how aggressively they blocked. But where do you go for that? NAM?
Yeah, NAM.
Like where is that at?
I think again we have to probably go to the Twitter handle NAM token, right? That's a new one. It's I think similar to what TIA, and it has a very short window. I think you need to claim it till December 28th, and you need to basically install some Chrome extension or something, right? Get that Genesis thing sorted out. I have to still read it. I think they have a Medium page also.
Let's see. It's called the NAM.
Yeah, that's right.
I think it's on CoinGecko, I think. Or maybe not. Maybe Ears knows. He's coming up. So NAM airdrop. Let's see if I can find the
Zephy
instructions for
Zephy.
Hey, what's up?
Oh, Zephy. Oh, it's terrible.
Where do I get my NAM airdrop?
It's
before you get to crying.
I went and I claimed my Jito. I farmed it with 15 different wallets, Zephy. I farmed it with 15 different wallets.
Where do you get Jito from?
This was the Solana airdrop that happened today.
Oh, Solana.
Okay. It's worth $175,000.
Nice. So you have enough capital to buy some Zeph then.
Now I can pump Zeph.
Awesome. Let me see if I can find the interchaininfo.something indexes Namada blockchains. It's the privacy chain too, or what is this?
I don't know.
Namada, yeah. Yeah, I think the link is RPGF. Yeah, that's the one. RPGFdrop.nemeda.net.
Yeah, but it says like.
I think there is some airdrop for Osmo.
What's the name of the? What's the URL you said?
RPGFdrop.nemeda.net.
RPGFdrop.nemeda.net.
Yeah.
Let's see here. What does this do? I don't know if I spelled this right. RPGFdrop.nemeda.net.
Yeah, that's the one.
It didn't really go to anywhere. Maybe I did something wrong. I'll try nemeda.net. Let's see. Asset agnostic something. Is it like a big yellow web page?
Yeah. That's the one. Yellow one.
Let's see. Modular privacy.
What are we doing?
How big is the airdrop? Is it worth playing with this thing?
I don't know. I need to check. I think they have listed out how much they are giving. So if you see, I think for Adam and Osmo guys, basically it's like 20 million. Total NAM allocation is 20 million for Adam and Osmo, Cosmos and Osmosis, basically stakers.
Okay.
And Stargaze, you need to have, I think all of your Stargaze also you own, right? So I think you will fall under this one, this category, Shielded Community. I think they have 20 million tokens basically for that one.
Let's see here. Let me get on the Twitter and find the link you gave me went to a hold up a second. Namada. Yeah, there's their page. And
slash, I think there is a slash claim hyphen confirmed. That's also there in the URL. So rpgfdrop.nemeda.net/claim-confirmed.
Oh, there's a slash claim?
Yeah, /claim-confirmed.
Confirmed?
Yeah.
Confirmed.
I don't know how.
Claim confirmed. Yeah.
Confirmed. CONFIRMED.
Yeah, I'm just going to a blank page. I'm doing something wrong.
Yes, I'm also getting the same thing.
You didn't actually. Seeing anything.
No, I was connected to a VPN. So when I disconnect, it says you're not eligible. So I don't know how to bypass that. Basically, I think if you are in US, you cannot claim it.
Well, I live in Bulgaria, so I should be fine. Let's see here. RPGF. Yeah, it's still it's kind of like blocked for the moment. And I don't know if it's blocked because they're screening like VPNs and shit or what.
Seffy, I've got to watch the finale to Squid Game, Seffy. I've got to watch the finale to Squid Game. I'll see you later on.
Okay.
Okay, Seffy, I tried a German location. I think it worked. So you may want to check Frankfurt or something. Germany is fine.
All right, let's give it a go here. So what does it say there? You're able to pick up your airdrop?
Yeah, I mean, it opened up the page. I was getting an error, or the blank page, right? I think if you choose Germany, it works, basically. So use any of the German location. And I think I'm using a Chrome plugin, basically, Planet VPN. So I'm using that option, basically, to check it. So it works with that. And it's only, this is limited, so I think 20 days. And I think this may go the TIA way because, you know, a lot of people will not be able to claim it. And I think, you know, they will kind of, you know, so there will be a supply crisis like what we saw with TIA, right? Can play out that way.
Okay. So the way I was able to get in was by, so on the Brave browser, if you use the Tor extension, the Tor browser. But even with the Tor browser, it says, sorry, your geolocation makes you not eligible to claim. So I think they are blocking based on something.
What VPN are you using?
I think it's on like Nord plus Tor.
Oh, dude, you got to use Proton VPN.
What do they do that's special?
I don't know. It just seems to work for all the different like airdrops and shit.
Okay, so they're not quite as blockaded.
Yeah, but yeah, I'm not doing this right now because I'm not like got a PC and shit, but yeah, I would say give it a shot.
The RPG airdrop claim confirmed. Yeah, they gave me a gigantic picture of like the wizard from Lord of the Rings and says thou shalt not pass. that's actually what it has. I'm like, what the fuck?
That's actually pretty great, dude. Just pack it up and go home.
The RPGF claim. Yeah, I don't know. I'm just still getting kind of blank sheets.
Sophie, I think you should use Chrome, and then within Chrome, you get a free extension, Planet VPN. Try that. You'll be able to claim it and choose Frankfurt, basically. That's what I did.
Frankfurt, okay.
Yeah, so go to Chrome, download Planet VPN free extension, and then I think use Frankfurt, German location. You should be able to get it, which is free, I think. So
let me look at Planet VPN here. Okay. Search this shit, see if we can find something.
You and I missed the Tia Celestia, which is a costly miss, I think, you know. Yeah, so this probably. This is no privacy without public goods.
I didn't miss Celestia with Proton.
I mean, okay. We missed it. I don't think Seffy, even I was taking Adam, you know, so I missed that. I don't think Seffy also claimed the airdrop for that one.
So this Planet VPN thing is not going to steal all my money.
No, you can delete it after you're done with it.
I mean, but what, by then it's too late.
Just use Proton, dude. Try it out.
You can try Proton, I mean, if that makes you comfortable. But I've been using Planet VPN for at least a month now. It seems fine.
Okay. Let's see if I can make this work. Ads for free users, blah, blah, blah. United Kingdom. Cool. So you said Germany worked for you?
Yeah, Frankfurt, German. Yeah, that's the one I used.
So they fund this based on what, a bunch of advertisement or something?
Yeah, looks like. But I don't think they bother you too much. Once you are connected, you're connected. I don't think they give you the ads and stuff.
Let's see if we can make it work. It's got the craziest URL here. It's like kind of ridiculous.
Yeah. That's a bit.
Oh, I got to turn off my existing VPN to do this too.
It's still giving me a still want a thou shalt not pass here. Let me see if I can. It's probably because I had my previous one running.
Yeah, it's conflicting, I think.
Yep. Let me disconnect and do this again. Yeah, Germany, they have like Netherlands and whatever.
I think the Netherlands did not work and the Great Britain did not work. So I don't think those locations also qualify.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it did not work. It only worked with Germany.
The Germans are cool.
Yeah, looks like.
Okay, let me try again here. This thing's pissing me off. These airdrop hunts are like, it's like a fucking puzzle. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, man, why they have these restrictions, right? So we missed out. I think, yeah, I stake Solana also. I didn't get that Jito thing. Looks like you had to mint some Jito soul or something, which means you're basically converting your soul. I didn't do that of it, so I missed that one also.
Oh, I mean, like, who's going to sell these things unless you're an airdrop hunter?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. I have this thing in my extension. It doesn't seem to be working. Sort of same problem, it seems like. It just kind of... Yeah, it's just going to sort of like blank page still.
Okay.
France didn't work for you?
No, only thing which worked was Germany.
Yeah, the way these things work is they tend to block.
So you're about Jito, right? That airdrop?
No, this is the Namada airdrop.
Oh, okay.
NAM.
Jito also had an airdrop, but you had to stake with them on Solana. Okay.
I see. Let me try something here. I don't know if it put a cookie on where like it blocked me because of that particular browser window, maybe. I'll try different. Nope. It's just giving me like a white screen sometimes too. Not sure if that's a problem.
That is a problem. I think, you know, I was getting the same thing, but it worked for me. So I don't know. Maybe I got lucky. Yeah. You can probably try with Proton VPN also. See if that works.
Yeah, just humor us. See if Proton works.
Where do we get Proton from?
I don't know. Like ProtonVPN.com, I think. Let me check it.
See if I can get rid of the one I just got.
Yeah, it's protonvpn.com. I mean, I'm not affiliated or anything like that. It's just really, it's a good.
You're not shilling your brand. I would imagine.
I wish I could buy their crypto token, but they don't have one.
Okay, so is this also an extension?
No, maybe, but I don't use it as an extension. I think it's, are you on a desktop or just?
Yeah, phone? Desktop.
All right. So yeah, it'll be an app, desktop app.
Let's see here. Proton VPN.
Yeah. .com.
Okay. Get it now.
Do it.
So they have a kind of a free version here, I guess.
Yeah, but that one is, it's really great, but you can't access like Germany or whatever we're trying to do with that.
What can you access?
Well, maybe if I remember correctly, I mean the US, and then there's also...
Oh, these guys like, are jackasses. They don't actually allow you to use like your Proton mail account at Proton VPN.
Yeah,
so now you have to like you wind up putting in your true email or whatever into this thing as opposed to like anonymous email.
You can't use hide my email.
That's a good point. I don't know. Maybe
if you guys need a VPN, just try CyberGhost.
CyberGhost?
Yeah, that one's really good. That's the one I use.
CyberGhost. Okay. Where is that one at? CyberGhostVPN.com?
I think so, yeah. There's an extension, right. And then there's also like the whole setup that you can download on your PC.
Okay, let's see. Let's get the Mac version of this.
The extension is free, and if you want like all the countries and all the access and like the extra security and all this stuff, then you get the paid version.
I see. But it worked well for you for this particular job, or just like,
what job are you talking about?
Well, there's an airdrop that's for like some random thing. Okay. And a lot of times what these companies are doing now for airdrops is they're blocking anything that is like a common public VPN is what's going on.
Okay.
So then.
Well, I haven't tested that, but it works pretty well for me for everything else I do.
Let me try.
What is JTO, by the way? JTO. Just looking at it on Binance now.
Benji, what's JTO? You know what it is?
People are posting it.
This Sol, JTO Sol, I think, right? JTO Sol. That's what people are making money on. So looks like I think it's liquid like MSOL sort of a thing. You had to, I think, mint your Sol to JTO Sol. So if you provided liquidity, they gave you those tokens, right? That's what it is. I have not read it, but that's what I suspect.
Okay.
Happened there.
They listed on Binance on launch. Holy shit. I'm wondering if I should be aping this. Probably has too much sell pressure right now from the airdrop, though.
Yeah, probably so.
Yeah, I think it's better to wait a few days.
Really hard to tell in these bull markets, though.
Yeah. Like
you never know. Like apparently,
it wicked to $4.8 on Binance. It's 1.8. There's a lot of charts like that, you know, and they usually go back to the all-time high, but it's not gonna be like immediately.
Plus, a lot of early airdrop holders don't necessarily sell immediately.
Yeah, they don't. They don't usually.
Well, a lot of early airdrop people don't even know that they're getting an airdrop.
Exactly.
I think there's statistics on that. I think the airdrop, like, I think something like 50% of people sell them or something. There's a pretty good number of, like, sellers.
Have you ever been rugged live on Spaces, Sebi?
Ever been what now?
Rugged? Have you ever been rugged? Yeah, while on Spaces.
Rugged? What do you mean?
I'm just waiting. Yeah, I'm waiting for you to download one of these VPNs and just be like, oh shit, where'd my fucking item go? Or something like that.
No, I haven't been rugged yet.
I'm very upset by these airdrops. I haven't, I'm either fucking blocked from getting them, like the Tia one. And then whenever I use a VPN, some of these I'm just messing out on for no reason. I'm like, what the fuck, man?
Yep. I don't know.
I'm already looking forward to the next bear market so I can short these coins. Fucking ass.
You're going to attack them back?
Yeah, dude. That's what I did the whole ride down. I shorted Solana and Matic and I would FUD like Cardano and IOTA and different ones.
Just FUD the shit out of it for the entire bear market.
Yeah, it's really like this coin shit, and then I'll be like spot buying it on the way down.
I don't really
spend
too much.
I have sold all my Tia, and I mean, hey, I appreciate the airdrop though.
I don't know what this Cyber Ghost is doing, but it's like I'm not able to open the like sign-in page. It's just like it shows that I have opened the app, but like it's not actually going to, it's not doing anything. Something's wrong with the actual. I'm getting bad luck today. It shows installed, but oh wait, okay, maybe. Okay, the sign-up sheet came back up now.
Yo, Sefi, by the way, I know you focus a lot on like big plays, you know, like Ceph and like big market cap plays, you know. But do you ever shitcoin? Like, do you just buy shitcoins sometimes randomly?
Well, this one was one about a little while back. So I picked this one up at like the first buy I made of Ceph was at like what, $6 or something. So it's like 15 million market caps. It's pretty small. I'm not sure if that qualifies as small enough or what, but then I bought KLS like one day after it came out. So that was pretty, or the same day it came out. So that's pretty, that's sufficiently degen, I guess. But I don't usually do it too much. But like you get a lot of opportunities for this sort of thing on layer ones, you know?
Yeah.
Where like DEX tokens and whatever other bullshit comes out. And, you know, but you got to be on those like right from the very beginning. Pretty much. Otherwise, it's just highly questionable.
Hi, Ceph. I've got a quick question, if you don't mind.
Shoot, go ahead. Just kind of messing around on trying to get this stupid VPN to work.
I've got a feeling that just connect the VPN and it just drains your wallet, most likely. But my question was, how did the hash rates kind of affect the price of the token?
Well, it kind of depends. I think the on the one hand, the hash rate means that like a lot of emissions are happening, in which case like that could be sell pressure at some point. On the other hand, if you don't have a high hash rate, then you'll question whether the network is secure. So like people will question whether they should, you know, buy a coin or put substantial money in something if it's not secure, right? So it's kind of like a feedback loop between security and monetary value. So it kind of varies. Like, I think there are some other coins where, like, you know, any coin where they've mined it for a while, like even Zephyr for that matter, like it's quite possible that, you know, miners are going to sell at some point. They might de-risk by like maybe paying for the cost of their rig, or maybe they'll, you know, who knows what, but like, or pay for electricity. So I think there's always sell pressure from mining. But there's also sell pressure in proof of stake chains from inflation and whatever. So I don't know. It's like pretty standard that you're going to have some selling. Very, very difficult to tell what that means for short-term price action and such.
Mm-hmm. And I take it, so I've had a little look around Twitter and, you know, the social indicators, and it's not really being talked about a lot.
Which is good. Like, which is good so far.
Yeah, because there's so many, I see this all the time. They have like a Twitter thread and then they're like, boom, post it. And then they get like, you know, a couple thousand people buying in and the coin just bumps and then dumps, which just destroys everything. You can't even sell at the top. And it's mostly by what I see is like exit liquidity for the people that bought in very early.
Just the good thing so far about this one is they listed it on Mexi relatively early. So like Mexi has a bit more like liquidity than some of the micro exchanges. So that's kind of a good thing. But like you have to imagine if you want to ever realize the actual value of your wallet in terms of like the ability to sell, you really have to wait for it to go up quite a lot. That's the other thing that I think makes price go up some, is that if it's a legit project that people actually want to keep in mind, then like they're going to wait for much higher prices to sell. Like, why would you sell this early if you're mining it, right, for the past few months?
And I take it that would support the token price as well then, if people are less inclined to sell it because there's more trust as in everything, the team, the project as a whole.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and again, this is an anonymous project, so I don't know who to trust or who not to trust, but I think that's both a risk and a benefit. So so if you have a known docs team, then the short term, it's good because like people can say, well, we know who this is. And if they rug pull us, we can go after them or something like that. Although realistically, that's not even possible either. You know, if a rug pull or something happens, a lot of times, most of the time, people just get away with it. But if you have like proof of work and, you know, like a clear, decisive amount of team tokens that they've previously already set aside in a pre-mine, then it, to me, it's like the risks are there up front to start with. Where you get into trouble with a doxed team is like you get the kinds of problems that you had with like Luna, where like Doquan or like Terraform Labs or the team or whatever could be an attack vector at some point in the future. You know, so like the benefit of having a proof of work system is ideally once you have the system in place, like there won't be too much system maintenance to do after the fact, right? You just have to run, make sure the front ends work, make sure the Oracle system for this thing works, and that's it. So like, and then there's like fees and stuff that go to the founders or whatever, I think, you know, so that's gonna, that helps like incentivize them to stay on board because now they're making money. If they're not making money, you have to be nervous that they're gonna like, I mean, if you think about any business, like how does the founder make money? They're either gonna pre-mine some coins, like, you know, how many Bitcoin did Satoshi mine outside of the, like the known Satoshi wallets? You don't know. How much of that was sold on the market? You don't know. So you're not going to know one way or the other who is who and when they mine and why they mine. So that's the thing about mining, is it's anonymous either way. So, and early users, the ones that are going to mine the most, or they know that their chain is going to be announced. So they get all the rigs ready and mine the shit out of it. So like they maybe have a lot of resources they deploy to pre-mine even their own coin. So you never can really fully tell.
I think they're choosing a pretty elegant way this on Ceph to actually allocate some money. So every block they get a little bit of the reward, right? Like for ongoing costs, which is pretty transparent because everybody knows how much they get, right? It's not greedy.
Yeah.
I like it.
And even if it's not like ongoing costs, let's say that they're just making money. Like, you know, there's not a good reason to destroy a system that's making you really good money.
Yep.
So I think it's better in that respect to have, you know, the founders making a buck. I don't know, but yeah, there's all these different concerns, but like no system in crypto that's ever been devised, like that includes proof of work and proof of stake. No system guarantees that you're going to have like an absolutely secure setup. And no systems guarantees that like you won't be let down financially due to like people selling on you and stuff like that. That's just a fact of life. So I think that's why like your allocations in these things should be small and like measured based on, you know, what you believe you could lose versus what the potential upside is and all that shit, right?
Yeah, so I think the guys on Ceph, they also made some considerations between the Monero emission curve and the Bitcoin curve. So they choose something right in between the two because they thought like Monero was just emission too fast and Bitcoin is a bit too slow. So I think the emission is right there between it. I'm not sure if you ever saw this graph.
I didn't pick at it too closely. I should look at it.
Yeah, so it's right there in the middle. From the time wise, you know, really like the midline between the two curves. Interesting.
Anyway. All right. Yeah, I mean that's good. And here's the thing: tokenomics is something that's like concerning over a period of like years. Short term, like the way I look at it is like no tokenomic strategy is perfect, like no matter what you do.
the consolation you have is that you're super early here. Like that's the risk. Those kinds of risks are more the tail risks, not the front end risks. And I think the fact that like if you're early enough and there's plenty of upside before all those things become a concern, like, you know, if your bag is up 10x or whatever and you're worried about the ongoing growth of the ecosystem, then, you know, like whatever, you can start reassessing at that point, right? And go, wait a minute, like, all right, I'm up now. Like, what do I do with this thing? Is there a bunch of risk going on here? You know, seems like a lot of emissions or whatever it is. So you'll have the on-chain metrics and you'll be able to see kind of like what the sell pressure looks like. But yeah, you never can tell with these things. Like, for example, did anyone know for sure Caspo was going to do well? I don't think anyone knew for sure. You had an excited community and people kept posting over and over again, buy Caspo, buy Caspo. It's going up, it's going up. And of course, like it did. It made it to 3 billion market cap, which is where Monero sits now and where Atom sits now. We do know that it doesn't take very long to reach those market caps. Casp is a good example. It made it there in about a year and a half. I would say like a substantial portion of coins that make it that quick that don't have like VC backing or like a very large like FDV, fully diluted valuation, many of these take about a year to year and a half to get there. Now, like, you know, whether they stay at that price or dip back down or go even higher and drop back down, I don't know. It can vary a lot, but it'd be interesting if like more and more of like the hardcore Monero crowd got into this, because like Monero's volume sits, so they have a daily volume that runs like, you know, $50 to $80 million a day, and their coin is like 3 billion. This yeah. is and running right now like two to three million a day, and this is market cap of, you know, like 65 million right now. So that gives you like a reference yeah. point.
My bet's also to some extension on the Bitcoin maxis. You know, I think there's still some people that like Monero, you know, just for the secrecy of it, because they know Bitcoin lacked and they like proof of work. And I think, as maybe they don't say publicly, but I think a lot of people that hold Bitcoin also hold some Monero just tucked away somewhere, you know. So that's my guess. There's some connection there. They're like, they have the same mindset, like the older guys, put it that way. So yeah, who knows, you know, if it picks up, we might get some adoption from that side.
I mean, Monero has been out since 2014. It's hanging out still at 3 billion market cap. And
yeah, never really dipped.
It's been putting in higher lows every year too.
Yeah.
So even though it's not like mooning to, you know, top 10 status, it's still top 30, I think, which is pretty good.
And the recent stuff from the Congress and everything, you know, what's her name? That Senator Warren, right, from Massachusetts, I think, when she interrogated like Jamie Dimon. Like they don't yeah. like that one bit, right? They're like, you don't get my money, you witch.
Yeah, but I mean, there's nothing they can do about it. So it's like, it's mostly just nonsense for now. But yeah, but I like this idea of having some Zephyr that, like, because while you may or may not be able to use these in the US, like, the thing, you know, you never know like what kind of regulation stuff come along with different cryptos and different exchanges and shit. But like, I like the fact that if you're sufficiently decentralized, and there are in fact countries you can use your money, if you have a moon bag and it moons, well, like, you know, you go use it outside of, you know, you just use it in a different country. Simple as that. You just plan your life around it. Like, just, you know, whatever. Like, what are you going to do with your, because if you repatriate like, you know, huge gains on crypto assets in the US or whatever, you're paying like the highest taxes possible, right? Like, if none of you have made $1 million before in a year, like, you know, there's a very high tax burden for such a thing.
Honestly, I don't think you can put the genie back in the bottle, you know, it's out there. So
yeah,
there's always ways to
yeah, get around can.
Whatever sanctions and whatnot, right?
Oh yeah. And
just missing the train.
Yeah. And you know, like if you had to pay for someone in private and they were willing to pick up a wallet, and you could, you know, you could basically pay people as much as you feel like it with the ZSD stable dollar if you wanted yeah. to.
What really gets me is the concept of plausible deniability, you know. I mean, no one can prove that you own anything. And that's the
point. No, exactly. That's the point. Right. Precisely.
Yeah. So ledger, you're always screwed in some way, right? If they just have sufficient enough like computing power, they can even go after something like Tornado Cash or something.
Yeah, and I'm not sure. Like, it might be that more miners are willing to hold on to their privacy mined coin versus a regular coin, because like, and especially because they can convert it to ZSD whenever they want to. Even though there's a fee involved and stuff, it's still like, it's still kind of a very like freedom oriented coin. And I think that it's gonna
up like 20x right on your investment. Who cares about a little bit of fees to convert
into? Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, like if it's at a billion market cap, like what are you worried about? You're gonna sit there and worry about the like, so like at 20 billion, I mean, I'm 10 billion market cap. This will be at, I think, like, what's the price of Zephyr at that point? It's going to be like around 400, I think. Is that about right? Something like that. So, and then, you know, as time goes on, like, more exchanges will probably pick it up. It wouldn't surprise me if like something like they're working on KuCoin eventually. So part of that team pool is to be able to afford to list on different exchanges to provide liquidity for those exchanges and get listed. And then, of course, you have a new series of buyers. And like, you know, if some bot trading platforms like Gate.io and KuCoin and Binance start listing it, then what happens is the bot traders will get involved. And typically, you will sort of lock in the higher market caps. So ideally, like, if we run this up much sooner before it gets to other exchanges, that's a good thing. Because those things, like those exchanges, will cement the higher market caps or the much higher levels in position for a very long time. You'll notice that like even the oldest proof of work chains that have been around, if they make it to a very high market cap and they bleed off to a certain amount, let's say 90% from the top or some shit. So let's say you get to like you can get to a 10 billion market cap and you bleed off to a 1 billion market cap or like a 2 billion market cap, you're still doing really well, right? So those kinds of movements are pretty normal. And once that happens, it's like the bot networks and everything kind of play a role, and then new buyers are always coming along here and there. Things just sort of stabilize at some level with proof of work. And it's very hard to push those levels dramatically down. Like, look at BSV. It's been delisted to all sorts of places. You can barely find it anywhere. No one likes the thing except a few hardcore BSV fans. And yet it's still around. Like, that's the moral of the story. So the key to proof of work coins is to get the price action to go up a lot to the point where attention is garnered. That attention brings in capital. And I brought this up the other day. Like, if you look at something like Zeph, which had like a $15 million market cap and a relatively thin order book, what that means is like, now that we pushed to like 120 to 60, I think we're between 60 and 120 million market cap is what we're floating in now. It takes a lot more users and a lot more money to like cement that market cap in place with true liquidity. So you want to be seeing like, you know, ultimately like, you know, $5 to $10 million of volume per day. But and you want to see like the order book just stacked up a bit more so that you have a lot more sales. So you have more liquidity available to actually sell. So the more people that want to actually sell, that they actually could at that actual price. So that liquidity comes with time mostly. There's no way to really rush that. So like, even if you had a gigantic pump of this coin, let's say it goes up another 10x for some reason, like it's going to come back down. Like there's no two ways about it. There just hasn't been enough time for new capital to come into the market and, you know, load up those limit orders and order books and things. But yeah, definitely like if we get another exchange or two, that's going to help. There were some issues with the web wallet, which is now working, by the way, that probably like slowed some people down. Like Doug is putting together that iOS wallet that he's getting approved. So if you have that, it's going to make things a little bit easier. Because people are a little bit more comfortable with like phone wallets, because like they're walled garden with the phone. So they're less worried about, you know, getting hit or something.
Some people that don't use laptops or computers for that matter.
Yeah, it's a mobile first world. So you need the mobile wallet. So yeah, he's putting that together. That's cool. That'll get some users on probably. So yeah, just one thing after the other. The more professional the site runs and more smoothly, the more people are like,
worried about the function of the thing. So
yeah, the site looks good. I think they did a solid job there. You know what you're doing. It's not like that Carson site, you know, Jesus. It's just one static page with some links on it.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty, like, it's acceptable.
It's okay.
And I think if we have that ZephyrPay thing come out, I don't know if who's building it, if it's real or not. I'm not sure if it's vaporware or real or what.
On Discord asking, there was someone contacting the guys, asking for some details on Discord. Did you contact Vidali and tell them to integrate it? You did. Right?
I did not. Should I?
Of course. Why not?
I was waiting. Well, I mean, like, integration for them is probably quite a bit of work. I think if we make another pop in the market cap and stuff, it might be easier to get them to integrate. And I'm not sure what kind of challenges the integration represents until that ZephyrPay comes out. I'm not sure if there's any challenges to actually implement this on the Vidali end. I'm not 100% sure. Here, let me message them right now, actually.
Yeah.
They've listed stuff I've asked for before.
I know.
So we can try to see.
So we can buy some tickets to France with CSD.
Let me, it's Vidali HQ, Vidali. So we should look at adding Zephyr protocol, Zeph as a payment method, since it's a fresh privacy chain. Let's see what they say. Anyway, they might respond, I'm not sure. I mean, there's someone on Telegram that wanted to catch up with us here. Your Twitch space is good. I want to share my experience of the first participant staking. Cost was 2,000 ZEP into the staking pool. Later sold 1,000 of them. Now they're still 3,000 in my wallet. Generous return from staking pool. Oh. Yeah, I think the people that got early ZRS tokens, they were able to convert. They were able to get quite a nice yield from it. So we missed out on it because we weren't early enough. I think Up got some ZRS tokens. But we won't be able to get those until like the stable dollar gets much more popular.
Well, it traded OTG, right? I saw it on Discord.
Yeah, some people are trading at OTC. I'm not sure how much premium they're putting on it, but...
Yeah, that's substantial.
Ben was like, yeah, it's been a while. The last time we got acquainted like this a few months later, Luna collapsed, so selling my bags and burying down. Might just capitulate. And to finally buy Zeph and wait for Death Spiral. Anyway, all right. Well, I'll eventually hopefully get that VPN working if I even remember what the NAM token is and why I'm getting it. What else are you guys up to? Any other trades you guys made that have been pretty good lately? Any success stories or just everyone holding on?
Yeah, but not in crypto.
Oh, what'd you get?
Yesterday had some calls, had $15 calls on Snapchat, and they went in the money yesterday, and that was a pretty good little payday.
Okay. I did well on one of the guys on Twitter pointed out Lilium, which is like LILM. I'm up like 110% on that. It's a electric aircraft engine maker of some kind.
Okay. What's the ticker?
LILM. And again, I don't know if it's still a good, well, it's a very, very, very early, like aviation type of thing.
Okay.
I don't know if it's a good price now or not. I just picked it up like at the bottom of like the stock market crash.
Bavaria.
What's that?
It's headquartered in Bavaria.
Oh, who knows? Lilium is kind of an interesting name, but yeah, they make some sort of like airplane engine design of some kind, which someone said was interesting. Cause I bought like Archer Aviation and Lilium. These are both like electric kind of like micro aviation, you know, type of things that are like, you know, to fly like one or two people with electric powered planes of some kind.
Okay.
Kind of interesting. Like the little black, you know, the black helicopter kind of, you know, stuff. So
yeah,
I got a little bit of each of those, and they've both done fine because I just, well, I mean, almost all the stocks I bought did fine because I bought them, most of them, at the bottom. And then I've got some that are still languishing. I bought a bunch that are languishing, but they make dividends, so it's fine. I kind of, I just loaded up the last year or so.
Yeah. Do these have dividends? Let me see.
No, no, this is too new for that. This is like a growth. These are growth stocks, basically.
Okay.
Yeah. These are,
I also, yesterday too, I had some CVS $72 calls that went in the money. And that was a nice little payday too. I paid myself, sent it to my bank account.
Oh, okay. That's good. Yeah, I don't really play with options and whatnot personally. I just buy and I just kind of like, because the market was wrecked, whatever income I had over the last year and a half, I just threw it into stocks and crypto pretty much.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, you would have done very well doing that. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, not all my stocks are in the green. Like, a lot of the stuff's doing nice, but like, the whole point was to grab everything while the relative dividend rates are high compared to the price of stock. And so now it's just the stocks pay me forever, right? I just hold them, and every month or every day, I got enough different stocks. I'm getting paid pretty much every few days. Some.
Yeah. See that? I mean, that's the dream. I just don't have enough money to be at that level. I need to play options.
Yeah. It kind of depends on your age and stuff too. Like how,
right. Yeah. Yeah.
How long
pretty, you I'm have pretty to young, wait. So
yeah. How long you want to wait. I do think it's a pretty good idea though, to grab some of the long-term dividend earners though, and just have them parked there.
Like what? Cause I have a IRA. Mm-hmm.
So let's see, if I was looking at like really long-term, I would say like one of my more interesting ones right now is IBM, the old Big Blue. Dividend rates acceptable. It's like 4-5%, but like they're doing a lot of cool shit in quantum computing.
Okay. Yeah.
And so they're the leader in quantum along with Google in the US. So they're in the race for the high qubit, you know, scientific computers and whatnot. They also make good revenue still on cloud, you know, services. So IBM's still sort of doing its thing. It's kind of a giant, so it's like, it's pretty good blue chip. It's not going to zero or anything. So it's like, you just park it there and just earn the dividends for however long. I got a pretty sizable bag of that at the bottom of the market. Another one that is like maybe a long-term consideration with a very high dividend, just for like the dividend yield, you know, just to kind of like, cause its price earnings ratio is super low. It's like 2 or something. Is Vodafone in Europe, VODA, you know, phone. And that's an interesting one just because it's like, again, it's not going to zero. It's like utility company like AT&T. They do like cellular services and shit, but like the price earnings multiple is so low that like, you know, if the PE ratio of 2 and it's a profitable company, you know, people aren't going to stop using their cell phones. I figured like, I think the dividend yield is like, I don't know, something like 7-10% or something. Relatively high.
10% right now.
Yeah. 10% because the price of the stock is down because UK is in recession. So I think that's led to the stocks to be, depressed over there. But that's the time to get these things. Cause like if they're paying out their cash flow company, you can make a good 10% on that sucker. So I got a pretty good bag of that too, not because like I expect it to go up a lot, but because like even if it goes up modestly, you know how these stocks pump from the bottoms, like 20% is nothing. They can pump off the bottom, but they can also give me 10% a year anyway of actual real yield. So like even if, I mean, 10% is good because think about that. Even if the stock price doesn't go up, your bag's getting bigger by 10%. Not bad.
Yeah, I just bought some in my IRA and I'll just add to it, you know. Because it's I have a Roth IRA, so I've already maxed out how much I can contribute for the year.
Mm-hmm. You need to be buying Hawaiian Electric.
Ooh, I have that too. Yeah, I have that too.
Good. From the ashes to the phoenix.
All right. Yes.
Yep, the wrecked Hawaiian Electric. Someone told me about that. Well, maybe it was you, Flux, on, and I think I got a little bit, maybe. I don't remember if I did, actually.
They have suspended dividends right now, so it's probably a good buying opportunity for whenever, you know, because it's going to come back in the future.
Maybe. I mean, I don't know how much money they're going to make, though. That's the thing.
They also own a bank, so it's not going to go zero, and it's the only option.
In Hawaii? Yeah.
It's the only option in Hawaii, so yeah, it's going to come back.
Hawaiian Electric, that's HE, right?
Yeah.
Let me see how much of it I have. I don't think I know. No, I did not get it. Is the chart totally wrecked right now, or where are we with it?
Yeah, it's
pretty wrecked. Yeah, it's so,
it's totally wrecked.
$8, but $40 was like, you know, where it was at before the fire.
Yeah. And it's got a PE ratio of 7, even at this price. So not great, but like it could be even more wrecked. Like Vodafone's to me is like even more obvious because the PE is like 2. Like it's like completely depressed. Like all growth has been priced out of that company essentially, which is a different. I'll get a little bit of Hawaiian Electric. Let me get a little few, just for fucking around sake.
Yeah, just fucking around.
Yeah. So I got some. There you go. Anything else that's interesting? Some solid wrecked charts. I love those.
Oh, well, it's not wrecked, but for dividends, Bristol Myers Squibb.
So, yeah, I picked up some BMY. I think I'm down on it. Let me see what my position there is. I was buying basically everything, like a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
Drug companies, food companies, fertilizer companies, everything was wrecked. Anything that had like a good dividend and the stock was just in the toilet. I definitely have some. I'm down 19% on this thing.
Nice.
But it has pulled back. It has dropped more. It's PE of 12.65. It has dropped more since. So now it's like the relative dividend yield is about 4.8%. So I think it's a reasonable place to add some here. I'm going to get some. Glad you reminded me here. Just stick some on.
Yeah, that's just, you know, this is long-term shit. I would love to have.
Like, this is just like, positions. Just what I'm saying. You pick these up just to have them for future dividends and stuff.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny. I put together this recent new stock account. And I put it together as basically a vacation fund. Like I poured a bunch of money in that we've been making for the past whatever year and a half or whatever it was, and pretty much bought as many like rec dividend stocks as possible. And that way, like I picked up like stuff like Petrobras, which had like a, I don't know, 20%+ dividend yield. And I got like one of those New York real estate companies that had like some ridiculous, like 25% dividend when the price I bought it at. Because it was completely wrecked because of the real estate market. And so the stock price is up, but also I get to keep the dividends at the same rate. So I kind of picked a lot of those dividend stocks at the very bottom, which is the exact place you want those. So you can get like a cash flow source. And the idea is to be able to like go on, you know, one or two vacations a year with the money that comes from all these dividend stocks. So I bought quite a lot. I mean, it wasn't a little bit, but enough to sort of put like, some constant cash flow coming out, just pay the taxes on that shit. And, you know, dividend tax rates are not bad. So it's less like owning a business, right? I mean, if you can earn like 5 to 10% dividend yield, it's basically like owning a business. Another one that you might want to look at is like Porsche. There's a Porsche Holdings stock and, they're down about 12%, but their dividend's really high. Volkswagen and Porsche, like, you know, they're in the crossroads between like Porsche is good because like they're in the crossroads of like the luxury market, which is a little bit less price conscious as far as, you know, car prices. They make great cars that everyone loves. And then on top of that, they also are deep into electric stuff with their racing teams and stuff. So they know how to build electric cars, and they've already built like the Taycan and whatever.
Oh, it's, okay.
Right now it's like $5 a share, 5.5% annual dividend yield. I bought a larger position in that one. I'm down 12% in that, 12-13%. So it's kind of recovering. But I buy these things on the way down. So I knew that, you know, some more red could happen, but I'm fine with that. And but like with, you know, with a dividend yield.
Do you know
like
what the ticker is for that? Because I don't.
Yeah, POAHY. Porsche Automobile Holding. Yeah, okay. POAHY. Porsche Automobile Holding SE. And the yield is right at this price, like 5.5%. I think when I picked it up, the yield was like 7%. Is even cheaper than this. I think, no, actually, I take that back. I got some of it cheaper than this, not all of it. Anyway, the point is, like, if the position's yield is pretty good, then, like, if I wait, like, 2 years, 10% yield, I'm basically making back the price of the stock, even if it doesn't come back up, right? So that's the theory. It's like, and then, you know, eventually, you know, there'll be an electric car boom, and everyone will go crazy again when the economy picks up whenever. And then you want to get these things at, like, the bottom wrecked. And I'm comfortable with, like, even if we have a protracted recession or something like that, you know, whatever, like, it's not like people are going to completely stop buying Porsches. So I think we'll be fine.
Yeah. If they had got a electric, like moving into.
Yeah. They have electric Volkswagen's other stock too. That is along the same category of that because same company, basically.
You know what one you might want to look at that I have a position in is called AORT. Artivion. I don't know what it is, but I do know that a very high up, you know, like government, like Congress person or some shit.
Healthcare supplies. Darmine calls it a bearish 1.2 score, which is a good sign.
and they got then, like someone with insider info who's in the government has a just started a huge position in it.
But the chart's reasonably wrecked. It doesn't have a PE ratio and it has high debt, though. That's the downside. Needham reiterates a buy of $22 price target. Okay. All right. I'll get a little bit of it.
Why there's not? No dividend or anything. It's just. For funsies.
Yeah, get a little micro bag just to kind of watch it. A lot of times I'll do is, like, if I don't know what it is or I have no idea, I'll just, like, sometimes I'll just buy one share.
Yeah.
And, like, bookmark it because I'll forget all these things. And that one share allows me to pay attention to the thing. And that way I'll just do my portfolio, like, list. And whichever bags I have that are down the most, I'll, like, periodically buy those.
Yeah.
So if you have, like, if I bought one share now and it's down like 20%, I'm like, ooh, that's a discount, and I'll get some more. And I might end up with two shares, something like that.
I do that too. Yeah. Another one that you might want to look at is called Jumia Technologies, JMIA. And it's apparently Solana? Like.
I don't What's have up? Solana, by the way.
Oh, well, I'm impressed.
There are a lot of different L1 tokens, like there's a lot of different L1s, and so, like, I don't know, Solana just never was one that I played on.
Have you never wanted, like, try to ape the check coins on Solana?
Not at all. I probably could have, but, like, it just divides my attention to too many different things. But I've never played on, like, Avalanche and Solana personally.
Gotcha. Solana trash, it's broken.
The number of possible websites you can go to with these things is, like, infinite, right? It just goes on and on and on. So it's hard to tell when.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. You know what, guys? I've actually got to run. I forgot I'm supposed to go to a meeting right now. So I will. Let me catch you back up in the afternoon a bit later.
All right. Good luck with your day.
All right. Catch you later. Thanks for the stock tips there. We'll see how they go.
Yeah, we'll talk. We'll talk later.
Cool.
All right.
KLS. Bye. free the piece of mind.
Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of trash is under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play, ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Motherfuckers walking around here looking faceless, trying to make a living selling friendship bracelets. Dead ends dragging out the max amount of payments. Red down days got them acting all bankless. Yo fam, what? Check these tokenomics. They probing this bear, flexing broken honest. I had to lay my soul down, I'm just roasting otters. And then to end a long day, 11 bowls of chronic. Never known a politic, I was born to frolic. It's been my policy to pollinate all over the plot. We got a lot of apologists jumping in at the top. We like to measure their velocity before they hit rock bottom. Over impossible loss, it's all moss, and I'm liking the odds. Fondue in the morning, forming mycological bonds. Flick the cap, yo, the road is highly involved. Flip a coin, diary fall. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play, ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Trying to figure out the max amount of dinner lay stacked in non-toxic, just to get a better place. Smacking on the hostage like the shit is play for keeps. Clowns, white knight, and all these Maybellines. They call it implausible when model after model keeps on ripping off the coat and going full throttle. Beats tearing apart your community. All these low-hanging fruits bearing zero liquidity. Got a planet in reach, coming standard to each. I'm on the back 10, stargazing after the siege. Commanding all the management to grab a few seats, and then we'll round up the beasts and send a messenger east. Y'all better sign a release when I'm bumping these beats. Hands up if I got motherfuckers drumming the streets. Yo, we got a few dubs, we got a couple defeats, and if you're coming for the king, you better have some of each. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play, ring around the rosy while the thunder is served.
Channel Spaces.